Thought we'd take a look at Proverbs chapter 24. A lot of good things in there, as many parts of the Word of God. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely and does not upbraid. I grew up working with people, you know, manual labor type of thing. And when you're a kid and you're new on the job and you don't get everything right away, people will often be sarcastic, or they'll actually be mean. You know, they'll send you for a left-handed monkey wrench. I never could find that thing. God is not like that. He is gentle. And if we want to know, He will teach us. And we should be those who want to know. We've heard His voice. We've heard the message. And He has much more to teach us in the Word of God. So if you're looking for wisdom, you would hopefully look in the book of Proverbs, that is the book of wisdom. And wisdom is not just knowledge, but you can't have wisdom without knowledge. Wisdom is getting the knowledge and then making the right decisions based on that knowledge that God has given us. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to look at chapter 24 of Proverbs. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the wisdom that we so much need. We not only need that wisdom, we need to be reminded of your wisdom and how you, as a good father, this being Father's Day, you as the best father, would educate your children and bring them along. You would correct us where we need correction. You would chastise us when we need chastisement, and you would even go further than that as we exhibit the stubbornness that comes along with a sin nature. So we just pray that we would be those who would pay attention to our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for this beautiful word, full of wisdom and kindness and the very honey in the rock, the good tasting of the Word of God. Thank you for each one here this morning. We look forward to a great service this morning. And so please guide us and lead us with your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. All through the Bible, God's people are called to be separate. Now, there is a separateness that's based on, I'm better than you, I'm more holy than you, and that is not what God is talking about. But He is saying, probably your mother told you this, birds of a feather flock together. And so we should make it our effort to be with Christians and not with evil men, not to be envious of them. Sometimes the evil person, Psalm 73, I believe it is, the godly man is looking at the evil man, and it seems like the evil man's doing great. And meanwhile, the godly man is having all kinds of problems. And he says, kind of like, what's up with this, you know? And he gets his answer, he says, when he goes into the sanctuary. In other words, he goes in there and he hears preaching. And then he says, oh, I get it now. It's not just what's going on now, it's what's going to come in the future. When you look in the Bible, you can see the future of those who don't follow the Lord, and you see the future of those who do follow the Lord. And so he lost his eternal perspective. We can't do that. We can't just get caught up in today, because if we do, we'll probably go off the rails. So don't desire to be with them. This is the problem, I think, that happens with young people. Young people don't know anything. We didn't know anything at one point. And so they're attracted by those who are maybe slightly older but still in their age group, and they seem to have it all together, and they're the cool kids and all that kind of thing. So I want to not go with those who are not of the Lord. And it says their heart devises violence. The thoughts that they have inside are going to come out in violence if they come to fruition. and their lips talk of troublemaking. The Bible gives a picture that every one of us was born a rebel against God. We didn't know it. We were born in darkness. But in Psalm 51, David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Not that she was sinful by having relationship with her husband, obviously, but that was right from conception. We were born with a sin nature, and we're going astray from the Lord. If we don't have a correction, if we don't have God, the ideal way would be that parents would be saved, and they would teach their children, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If that doesn't happen, then they keep right on going and getting worse and worse. The Bible says the evil men will wax. That's an old-fashioned word for grow. Will wax more and more evil. So need to nip it in the bud. The Bible says in Proverbs many times that the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge. now it's children given time out. There's no corporal punishment. Now, we understand, we should always see this, okay? God has authority, and he's given authority to the parents to raise their children in the right way, and that includes correction and sometimes physical punishment. Now, the trouble is that people will take authority and use it excessively, and that is what is so unfair, and it would cause guilt on the part of, not guilt, but not seeing authority in the right way. If your mother or your father was abusive to you, overly abusive, then naturally you're going to resent authority even more than you do naturally as being born a sinner. So Mike was a police officer. He was a sheriff down in West Virginia for two terms, eight years, had to be elected, and he also was a police officer in Falmouth, and almost became the sheriff up here. Missed it by what, 75 votes, right?
47, what a blessing.
So he said, "Okay, I'll go to West Virginia where they appreciate a lawman." Mike, we talked about this before, he knows that you don't use excessive force against somebody. Am I correct on that? You don't shoot somebody who's breaking into a gumball machine, right? But see, people, when we get a little authority, we have a tendency to, go overboard and misuse that authority. So a police officer is supposed to be controlled and not use excessive force. At the same time, prepare to use deadly force if he needs to. The Bible says that beware that not in this age, but the executioner doesn't bear the sword in vain. In other words, legal governments that are holding back crime and sin and so forth, they're actually authorized by God. I think I told you before, I was up in Plymouth one time and I was giving out tracts in John, Gospels of John, and I met these two big old policemen coming who I think they'd been in Dunkin' Donuts a little too. They weren't in good shape like mine. But they'd come along and I gave them each a Gospel of John. I said, "Did you guys know that you're ministers of Jesus Christ?" So they locked me up. No, but I explained to them, I said, all authority is from God, and he has given that authority to you guys to exercise on the street and to keep the law and order. Where would we be without that thin blue line? We've seen where people get the bit in their teeth, if you will, and they cause riots and they overturn cars and they burn a property, meanwhile protesting an election which they think is going to cause this kind of thing. I never get it. It's kind of a madness. The Bible says about that kind of thing that you shall not join a mob to do violence, and that though hand join in hand, God has a record of that. He holds each person responsible. And some of those situations, the police have been able to get videos and actually pinpoint somebody who has done great damage. God's got a camera, and he doesn't miss. He gets every single one. And so there's going to be an answering for that. So don't follow a multitude to do violence. That's what the scripture says. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 24 and trying to go through some of these passages on wisdom. In verse 3, he says, "Though through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant things." I'm going to use that as a metaphor for you building your house of faith. You need to build it with understanding. You need to build it with knowledge. You need to understand that the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is your foundation. There's no other. And then you want to build on that foundation your house of knowledge, if you will, about the Lord Jesus and about Christianity. And by that knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Riches in the Bible obviously can be riches, as in money and gold and pearls and all that good stuff. But it can also be spiritual riches, things that you know that God has showed to you so that you don't have to be a pauper, spiritually speaking. You can have all these riches. So you're supposed to build a house through wisdom, and by understanding it is established. Do you know that Sears and Roebuck, years ago, before my time, honest, and that's a way back, they used to sell houses as each piece was numbered, and you had a plan, and you got this big pile of lumber, and everything was there, shingles and the whole nine yards, and you put it together, and you followed the scheme or the plan that was given to you. Otherwise, you had the bathroom out here somewhere. No. But anyway, you followed the plan. See, this is what you have to realize. I just pray you understand this. God is a God of order, and he builds orderly. He's got a plan for the whole world. He's not surprised by anything. He's not anxious about anything. His will is going to be done. And he sees, I like what one guy did. He said, he's at the head of the table. Let's pretend this is all one table. And he sees the beginning and he sees the end. And he's not perturbed. It's all going to come out to his glory and to the good of his people. So when you're believing something, or you're hearing something, ask yourself, how does this fit with what God said about Jesus Christ? Does this fit with what he said about sin and how sin has been taken care of on the cross once and for all, and that Jesus actually rose from the grave in a real body and he's promised to return? Does all this other things that you're learning, does that fit in there? And then you want to get that idea, and we've talked about this before, of these three different groups at least. One is the people of Israel, okay? And the second one is the church itself. And the third one is the Gentile nations who are all going to be have the gospel preached to them, and many of them will be saved and they'll go into the millennial kingdom. Listen, God's people are wandering around, in many cases, in ignorance that they don't have to wander in. You should make it your goal, I'm going to know this book. And I'm going to study, and I'm going to know this book, and I'm going to listen to people that know this book, and I want to see the beginning, I want to see the history, but I also want to see the future. The future is, prophecy is really history written in advance. I like that idea. God already wrote out what history is going to be. It just hasn't happened yet. But God said it, it's going to be. And this will settle you down. This will give you confidence that you know what you believe and you know who you're believing. At the same time, we're still learning, but we're also being refreshed in that which we already know. Now, we need to think about Calvary every day. We need to think every morning, you know what? I'm a new person. Hey, honey, I'm a new person. Yeah, I get your breakfast. No. If other people don't believe, you know, you believe anyway, because this is what God has promised. You know, every time you get up in the morning, you're just one step closer to glory. One step closer to seeing his face, and having that wonderful realization of who he is, and we're going to be something that we ain't now. That's bad English, but it's good theology, okay? All right, so let's go on. Look at this. A wise man, this is verse 3. Wait a minute, is that 5? Oh, sorry, that's 5. A wise man is strong, okay? Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Everybody is fighting a war, whether they recognize it or not. They may be AWL or think they are, but that only means you're defeated. You've been in the war and you're defeated, okay? So every person, every Christian is in a war. You're going against the grain. I hope you've all seen that T-shirt where all these fish are going this way and the one Christian is going the other way. Well, we shouldn't be the lone Christian. We should be a school of fish too. We should be together. We need to have our unity, and we need to be helping one another and rejoicing in every victory that somebody wins, and encouraging one another in that, that God wants us to do that. This is our family. You know, Jesus was in teaching one time. Remember this? He was in teaching one time, and they said, oh, your mother and your brothers are outside. You know why they were there? They thought he was crazy. That's really what was going on. They thought Jesus was crazy, and they were going to grab him, and you're an embarrassment to the family. I got to get you out of here, you know? Yeah. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my father? These are my mother and my father. In other words, this is a relationship that counts. It's a spiritual relationship, and we are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? John, you got to put up with me for all eternity. I'm sorry. But I'll be different then, I promise, and so will you. We'll be able to appreciate one another because we will be fully like Jesus. Just as Jesus is, so we will be. I don't mean God, but I mean we'll be good like Jesus is good. We won't have any inclination to sin. See, God's dealing with sin down here on this earth, so in a new creation, it's never going to rear its ugly head again. Everybody going in that new creation is going to be just like Jesus. They're going to love God. They're going to be with one another, love each other, love Jesus, love God. No inclination to sin. Whew! And we can't even imagine that. No wonder, you know, David, when he's contemplating this, this is too high. I can't get a hold of this. It's just so awesome, you know. When you see Paul and he goes into a doxology and he's like, how far above and how impossible to search you out and to know your mind and to see all of this. And people have taken that, well, see, you can't really know God. No, what he's saying is, God, you revealed yourself to us. You see that? You revealed yourself to us. There's no way we could ever figure this out. This is a revelation of God. And we need to glory in it. We need to glory in it. If you understand who Jesus is, you are so blessed. We are so blessed. And we want to keep that relationship vivid. We want to keep it sharp and keep it fed. And listen, everybody goes through the slumps, okay? You're not being picked on. That's part of your process of growing, okay? I remember one time I hit a laundry route, and I was very anxious. Because you may say, well, that's not a big deal. It wasn't, but to me, I was very anxious. It was a new job, and I didn't basically was being taught, you know, the route and all that. And so I came up to this door, and Otis, and I knocked on the door, which you're supposed to do, and told the lady, you know, I'm Colonial Cleaners, and so she went to get stuff. Meanwhile, a little kid is standing here. I'm outside, and there's a window. And so I could see the little girl there, and she's crying because mommy's gone. And you know, it seemed, I don't believe in God speaking audibly, but it seemed to me God was saying, you know what, you're just like that little girl. You can't see, she can't see mommy right now, and she's crying because she's immature. And he's saying the same thing to me, just because you can't feel me. I mean, I had times when and I'm sure you have too, where you feel like God's right next to you, you know, and it's a great blessing. And then there are other times when you, where are you, God? Well, am I alone here, or is this your experience as well? You have those times when you, where are you, God? You promised, but God, where are you? And he's there all of the time. And so I think God used that little girl to teach me a lesson. Stop whining. You know, mommy's just gone upstairs for a minute. She'll be right back. You don't need to cry, okay? But you know what? Those are learning experiences that I think everybody goes through. We have to keep on going and learn from those bad experiences as much as we learn from the good ones. And it points us back to the Word of God. If you're hurting, if you're feeling like you're abandoned, if you're feeling like this is not working the way they promised me, you know what? Open the book of God. All of a sudden, your vision enlarges and you see things differently. You see things new. You see things brand new. You see things that you knew and they're bright and shiny again. You know, you got to keep that that going in you. So a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. You got a war going on. And you're going to wage it with wise counsel. What's better wise counsel than the Word of God, right? First of all, God says, I will never fail you or forsake you. I will never fail you or forsake you. So, well, that's if you're a good Christian. I will never fail you or forsake you. What part of that don't we understand? Okay? I will never fail you. But God, I failed you. I know. But I will never fail you. You see that? David, when he's in the cave and there's like all these armies are looking for him, he says to God, you are my portion forever. You are my portion forever. And he laid down and he went to sleep. With all those people after him to kill him, you know? Because he had complete calmness because whatever happens, you are my portion. You are my portion. Every one of us, every single believer, I don't care if you got that much faith, you are my portion. And we want to grow in that. We want to grow in that knowledge and walk in that joy, you know, and grow up. Realize that mommy's just gone upstairs for a little while, but she hasn't stopped loving you. So we all need to grow up. For by wise counsel you'll wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do as a Christian, and you pray, and somehow you're looking back and you say, you know what? Now that I look back, God brought me through that. I didn't see it when I was going through it, but he brought me through. I've told this story before, but I don't care. It's a good story, so you know, you can get a lot of tread out of a good story. Ironside was the pastor of Moody Church, and one time this lady talked to him after a service, and she said, you know, wherever I go, there are these two men that follow me. I get on the bus or the trolley, and there, these two men are following me. And you know, it makes me nervous. Wherever I go, there they are. And he knew this woman. He said, look, those are two friends of David. They're called goodness and mercy. And wherever you go, they're going to follow you because that's what happened with David. And she was completely relieved. You know, so my point here is that in looking back, you can say, wow, how did I do that? How did I get through that? I'll tell you how you did it, by the grace of God. Either the active grace of God, where you were aware of it, or your unawareness of it, he still stays good. He still brings you through. You say, well, my faith wasn't much. Yeah, well, God knew that. But if you have faith in Christ, he's going to bring you through. You belong to him, and he will never fail you or forsake you. He owns you in two ways. He owns you by creation, and he owns you by redemption. You ever heard this story? This little boy that his father gave him this, the other way around. He made this little sailing vessel. When I was a kid, that was a big deal. We used to buy these boats, and they had sails, and you'd have a rope on them or a string on them. Now they all buy remote. But anyway, you'd put them out there in the pond, and you'd have fun with them, you know. Well, this little boy was doing that down at the ocean, and the string broke, and he lost his little ship that he had created with his own hands. And a number of years later, he's walking through the city, And he goes by a pawn shop, and there's this ship that he made, he created. And he goes in, and he buys it back. And as he's coming out, he says, "Little ship, I created you, and now I bought you back. You belong to me." That's what God has done with us, amen? Wow. And we've hit a few rocks on the way too, right? But he's creating a new creature. He's already created a new creature. You know, the thing is, to become a Christian is more than being forgiven. It's more than being forgiven. You got to die. I don't mean physically. I mean you have to die in Christ and be raised with Christ to have fellowship with Christ. Every one of us that believe, we're already resurrected right now. I am the resurrection and the life. What's your name, Jesus? I am. Ever hear that expression before? I am. Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" I am. Okay. Jesus said in John 7 times, "I am. I am the resurrection and the life." If you have faith in him, you're resurrected already. You've already been to judgment on the cross in the person of Jesus. And now here's this new creature, bright and shiny, made in the image of Jesus Christ, recreated. What you need is good soul food, brother. And I'm not talking about what we used to hear, what, in the 80s, the soul food. I'm talking about you eating the Word of God, taking it in. Jesus said, "The person that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that's a person that has life." And many of his disciples walked away that day. See, discipleship does not save. It does not save, okay? What does save is ingesting, trusting inwardly what Jesus Christ did. And he said, "My flesh is bread indeed." And I believe that's speaking of the written Word of God. So that when you read the Word of God, it renews you, it refreshes you, and it puts you right back at square one when you love the name of Jesus because you found out he loved you. What a savior. Okay, so a man of knowledge increases strength. Stop being a weakling. Grow up. And how are you going to do that? Eat your Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. The grace of God, the word of his grace. Keep taking it in. You say, "Oh, you don't know my situation, Dennis." No, but you're covered. Your situation's covered. There's been a lot of people like you and me and what we've gone through, and we're going through this process of learning and growing, and we're going to give glory to Jesus Christ forever and ever because he loved us. Now, wisdom is too lofty for a fool. Did you hear that? Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. You know why it's over his head? Because he's looking down here. He's only looking this way. He's not looking up. You see that? He said, I don't need that kind of wisdom. I just need somebody to bail me out. No, you need that wisdom, and you need this wisdom. And God gives both in this wonderful book of Proverbs. So he does not open his mouth in the gate. He doesn't say anything because he's not taking in wisdom. You know, the Bible says a lot about keeping your mouth shut, but it also says a lot about saying some stuff too. When you hear stuff that's not right, listen, this is how you should be. You should, when somebody's talking about Jesus Christ, that should be like the dearest person on earth to you, your mother, your father, whoever, your husband, your wife. And you're listening attentively because you don't want their name slurred. Amen? And so when you hear something about Jesus, you need to speak up. You need to speak up. All of us, and I'm saying all of us, and we need that divine courage, not just some kind of, fleshy courage. We want to have that divine courage that comes from walking with Jesus. I can tell you this, and I'm sure it's your experience as well. When I'm prayed up, when I'm scriptured up, and I run into somebody like that, there's a few things that happen, okay? But if I don't pray, if I'm sulking because the hard way that God has used me, come on, let's grow up, okay? Everybody goes through hard times, right? Everybody. And look what God has done with so many people that have turned to Him. Okay, so if I'm out of sorts, I'm out of service. You ever see that old song? Out of service. Well, you know what? Get back in there, all right? Get prepared. Spend some time in Proverbs and any of the book of God and get your mojo again, okay? Get activated again, and you'll find that God will use you. So he does not open his mouth at the gate. You know, in the book of James, it says that the tongue is like the rudder on the ship. And he uses it in a negative way. You know, in other words, if you say bad stuff, you're probably going to go on the rocks or whatever. I want to suggest to you, you can use it in a positive way. If you talk for Jesus Christ, that does, you know, before other people, that does a world of good for you. Because you're reminded who you belong to and who you're speaking for. And at least for the next half hour, you're probably going to be more holy than you were the half hour before. But it's going to have to be a repeated thing. Repeated, repeatedly washed, repeatedly taking in the Word of God. Repeatedly encouraged by the Word of God. Now, look at, this is verse 8. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. People get to know people, okay? They know people. All right, so we need to be those who are what we say we are by the grace of God. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. You know why the scoffer is an abomination to men? Because the scoffer is often very confident. You know why he's confident? Because he's spiritually blind. He doesn't see God. He doesn't see what's coming, okay? So he's got a lot of cocky assurance that's fleshy, and that appeals to some people who are in darkness and they're not sure, and so they like confidence, and so they follow that guy. And when you do that, you're going the wrong way, all right? Now, here's what I want you to see in verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I remember when I first read that. Because I'll be honest with you, I had tremendous fears that I wasn't really a Christian. I mean, this is what made me dive into the book. It made me look at these scriptures that cause fear in the hearts of God's people, and I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like I'm stronger in that area than any other area in the Word of God. But when I read this, because what people were teaching was, if you're really a Christian, if you are really sold out, you are ready to be beheaded right now for Jesus. And then I read the story of Peter. I'll follow you to the death. Okay? These other guys, not this boy. Okay? See, Peter had to learn a lesson. God bless Peter. God bless Peter. Did he give up? No, he did not. And interestingly enough, if you read the whole story, Jesus talked to Peter about exactly what he was going to do. And he says, when you're strengthened, when you're renewed, strengthen your brethren. How are you going to do that? Because you already failed. You know what it's like to fail, okay? So if you're failing as a Christian, it's not because you're not a Christian. That's what is being promoted so often. If you're not doing this and not doing that, you're not really a Christian. And what does that do to somebody that feels weak in themselves and they're starting to see that, I don't really have what it takes here to be a Christian. What does that do to them? It harms them. You see that? The teaching of grace is, if you faint in the day of adversity, listen, only living people faint. You understand that? If you're dead, you don't faint. You done fainting. Okay? It's time for the dirt nap now. Okay? You're done fainting. But if you faint, it means you had life and you've lost consciousness. Okay? And what are you going to do? You're going to be revived. That's what we hear, revival all the time. Revival, revival. You know, if I understand the scriptures correctly, we need to be revived every day. We need to be renewed and refreshed in that which we already know, so it's sweet again. Yes? You know what? I just said that. I'm so glad you concur. I don't usually believe in women preachers, but when you agree with me, no, that's absolutely true. That's the whole idea. If you're revived, it's because you already have life, you see. And I got to believe that there are people walking around who at one point, and I've known a lot of them, who we like to say, on fire for God, right? Well, they haven't had any fuel added to the fire for a long time, and it's sort of, and a lot of those people, honestly, they think they're lost now. There have been people historically in Christianity who believe that they lost their salvation. And some people have actually committed suicide over that. That's terrible. Yes. Right. You got it. Yeah. Right. Well, that's typical. It's like a baby learning. You know, you fall, mommy, daddy pick you up, or you get up on your own. Yeah. So this is a normal procedure. Okay. What is not right is to lay there and say, "Oh, I've had it." Listen, do you understand that when Jesus took you on, he knew all about you? And he took us on anyway. He saw the bad side, and he did something about it. He died for it, and he's out to make us like him, as you know, individually, but also collectively as a church, where we love one another, and we sympathize with people that are going through stuff because we've been through it too, but we've found that God is faithful. Okay. So if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Okay, so you say, all right, I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small, what do? Have a meal. Isn't it amazing? You know, the first thing they give somebody who's passed out, what do they give them? Water, right? The water of the word, okay? And then if you really want to get them going, give them a little wine, right? Spiritually speaking, of course. No, seriously, but, wine in the Bible is also likened to the Spirit, because it lifts up, it enhances, it changes. Now, you don't want to become a drunk, I'm not saying that, but as far as the scriptural things are, yeah, keep on drinking, you know. See, joy is really given to us by God. Make sure you get your joy. When you have joy, you look at things differently. Can't help it. You're renewed, you're refreshed, and you say, that which knocked you down before is like, let's go. We can do this through God, you know. Okay, so now, isn't this interesting? You notice that I have these next verses highlighted? You notice that? They're in bold print. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. See, one of the things we're called to do as believers is to get other believers, right? And when we look at that, we're sometimes, how am I going to do that, you know? I don't have enough strength to do that. So look what it says. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. In other words, part of your and our renewing is for the benefit of other people. If we just try to keep that blessing to ourselves and we don't want to get involved in somebody else's life, we don't care, you know, spiritually speaking, we don't care that they're going to hell, or we're going to try to pretend we didn't know that, that's part and parcel of our development as Christians, okay? Because we want to be like Jesus. What did Jesus say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? So in other words, I'm going to teach you. Those apostles, they were with Jesus for approximately 3 years, and they saw him in every circumstance you could possibly think of. They were with him. They left their home and family, and they stayed with him. That's what you did when you were a disciple. And so they saw him in every situation. They saw him forgiving people. They saw him standing against error. They saw him risking his own life to stand against error and to rescue people. They saw him speak a kind word to the woman caught in sin. And they also saw him rebuke those who were cemented in sin and were opposing him. You bunch of vipers. You know? Imagine Jesus at the door welcoming people to church. You bunch of, And you know what? John the Baptist said that. And you know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? That's the greatest preacher that I ever heard. Of all the people born, he's one of the greatest preachers. Meanwhile, John was wondering what's going on. And he started to have some doubts. Are you the one? And he heard about all these things that Jesus was doing. It says that. And then he said, are you the one? You got to ask, why would he say that? Here's my theory. Take it or leave it. You can forget it, or you can take it. You can be mistaken, or you can be... Okay. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? He's wondering why Jesus hasn't died. That's my theory. He's already heard about he's doing all these miracles. Jesus said, you go back and you tell him what you see. And he repeated the miracles. What he's saying to John the Baptist, listen, that's on my agenda. But right now, I'm demonstrating to Israel that I am the king. See, he came, the Bible tells us, he first came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's come as a representative of the kingdom of heaven. And what better representative than the king himself? And when things are winding down, he's going to the cross, he goes into the temple one more time, and he says, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And that's the Israel. And guess what? They're going to say that one day. Woo! That's going to be a great day. I get excited about that because that's going to happen. I'm more sure of that than what's going to happen when I go outside and I have a flat tire. I don't know what's out waiting for me out there. Maybe the car won't start. I don't care. But you know what? I do know this, that one day Israel is going to look at Jesus, and the Bible says they're going to weep for him as if he was their firstborn son. And they're going to repent over him. Because God says, it's God speaking. I love this. He's speaking to Israel. He said, they will look on me, whom they pierced. In context, it's God speaking. This is Jesus who was pierced. Is Jesus God? Absolutely, he's God. He's also man. They will look on me. What else is it? He's alive. Remember, he told them, there's no sign going to be given this wicked and adulterous generation except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth, and then he will rise. See, a sign doesn't need faith. A sign is a sign. A miracle, you got to have faith. But a sign is to unbelievers and to believers. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? How many people believe Jesus rose from the dead? Put your hand up. Way up, okay? Like you're lifting them up. Right? No, we need to affirm that again and again. The debt has been paid because Jesus rose from the dead. He's our receipt that our sin has been taken away before God. There's no greater thing that could ever happen to somebody except to keep on growing and be useful to God. And this is what he's saying. I'm going to wind up with this. Okay? Deliver those who are drawn to death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Why are they stumbling? Because they're blind. They don't know where they're going. May I say this? How long were you outside the Lord? And no, what I'm saying is, you know, God, give him time. Okay? Keep praying for him. God loves him more than you do. You know that. Okay? You just keep praying. And you be consistent, you know, with your Christian life and lead them on, you know. God answers prayers. He loves the prayers of a mother, too, you know. I know it's Father's Day, but he loves the prayers of a mother. There you go. Amen. Yeah. Listen, my mother prayed for me, and imagine doing having to do that, you know? I mean, you didn't know me before, but yeah, believe me. Yeah, my mother, yeah. So God answers prayer, but he also uses the word of God to save people. Now, here's our responsibility, okay? First of all, if you're weak, Get strong. And then use that strength to deliver other people. If you say, you're talking to God now, surely we did not know this. We didn't know people were going to hell. We didn't know people were stumbling. Not going to work, right? Especially after today. Does not he who weighs the heart consider it? Did you ever think about that? Is your heart on the scale? God's weighing your heart. Do we have deep heart concern for people? Where are we going to get it if we don't have it? We've got to get it by hanging around with Jesus. Spend some more time with Jesus and see how much he loves people. It says that he was watching the people one day, and his heart was grieved because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know what he did? He started teaching. Okay, that's the answer. You see all the trouble and everything. The answer is teaching of the Word of God. So these people that are in darkness could come out. Are they all going to come out? Probably not. They didn't for Jesus, okay? But you can have your part in that. Now, look what it says here. He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Don't lie to God. God knows that you know. And he wants you to have this concern for other people. And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Okay. That's the idea. That's pointing right to that idea of rewards for faithful service. That's what it's saying. Talking to a guy the other day. They told me that this guy needed help and he had a lot of questions. Turns out he had an agenda of his own. The questions were just a facade to tell me what he believed. And so he said to me, do you think that if you're a Christian that you can still sin and go to heaven? I said, absolutely. It's horrifying. Oh my goodness. Heresy. Okay. So, well, it wasn't quite that dramatic. I'm hamming it up, okay. But you don't have to say yes. By the way, you're awful quiet today. It's scary because I figure you're going to open your mouth sooner or later and I'm in trouble. Anyway, so I said, and he said, really? And I said, yeah, you need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where all of us are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and what we did is for God is going to be rewarded, and what we did that was of us is going to be burned up. I don't believe that. I said, you just told me you believe the Bible. You've been telling me that ever since you got here. You believe only the Bible, only the Bible. Watch out for those people, okay? They never think about anything. It's just what the Bible says. Well, there's a truth to that, obviously. But you know what? You got to take it in bite-sized pieces. You got to break it down. You got to understand it, okay? So I said, well, read it. It's right there in chapter 3 of Corinthians. I got to go. Goodbye. Let us put it this way. We left without fisticuffs. But anyway, you meet all kinds of people, okay? You get people thumping the Bible because they believe a certain part of it, but they don't believe it all. So let's stay open. Let's feed on the Word of God. Let's let it change us, and let us have an eye for the other people. You think you got it tough? You think that you're struggling with stuff? Think about somebody that's going to hell, and they have no light at all, okay? We're going to launch a thing here in a couple of weeks where we're going to encourage people to give out the gospel to their neighbors and let this verse sink into your heart. Read it over again and learn it, you know. God knows. He knows that what you know. I mean, he's holding us responsible. All right, let's have a word of prayer. You've gone over again. You people have made me go over again. Shame on you. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us and to all who call on your name. And we just pray that you would guide us and lead us, and that the service to follow will continue to bless our hearts and encourage us to follow you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue with this. If you can hang on to that paper. We're going to continue with this next week.